Hello, Hudson Class. Miss Stein here again. I'm going to carry on reading The Wolf Wilder today. If you remember last week, Theo encountered Ilya in the forests. He is a young soldier who's meant to be tracking wolves and wolf wilders. However, he's befriended Theo. Tenderfoot gave birth to a pup, and Ilya is planning to come back and help Theo with the wilding. Okay, here we go. I'm going to read on. The weeks that followed were some of the happiest of Theo's life. They stayed close to the house, as far away from the soldiers' barracks as possible. Marina patrolled the area, her knife always at her side, her face pinched, but no grey coats appeared. And the pup, even before his eyes opened, was evidently an animal of fearsome intelligence. When he was awake, which was not often, he slept next to Tenderfoot outside the front door. Theo would sit on her windowsill at sunrise with the pup in her lap while Tenderfoot nosed around the snow, darting around corners, lunging at puffs of wind, chewing the side of the house, disappearing for an hour or two, trying out her new running legs. Sometimes Ilya would turn up without warning. He tried at first to make it seem as if he had stumbled upon the hill by accident and was surprised to find Theo chopping wood or oiling her skis. "Your surprised face," Theo laughed, "is not convincing. You look like somebody's great aunt." Black and White had both sniffed at him once and rejected him as both uninteresting and inedible. Only Grey kept watch, following him to the edges of the wood when he left. Her expression was not exactly hostile, but nor was it plumping cushions and offering him hot drinks. The pup began to recognise his smell and to mew blindly and stagger about when he approached. Ilya would sit, holding the pup in one hand, and tell Theo about the other soldiers in the barracks, about the Tsar's twitchy anxiety, about riots in the countryside. Theo rarely heard about the world beyond her own woods, and she listened hard. Again and again she asked him to tell her about Rakoff. On Sunday he made some of the junior officers hang by their hands from the balcony all night. He said if they let go, he'd shoot them before they hit the ground. I think he's mad. Or maybe just going mad. The others say it wasn't like that 5 years ago. Why doesn't the Tsar stop him? The Tsar has a sick little boy, so he ignores the rest of Russia. I didn't know he had a son. Of course he does. You don't get much news around here, do you? Theo stuck out her tongue. Russia is quite a big thing to ignore. Yes, it means Rakoff can do whatever he wants. Which would be all right, I suppose, except the things he wants are bloody. He drowned an old beggar in the snow once. The Tsar never found out. As he spoke, Theo did her best impression of somebody who was not afraid. She said, I see. He told her about the small officer's library too, from which he occasionally stole books. They're the only good thing about the whole place. I sleep with a dictionary under my pillow sometimes, just to remind myself that there are more words in the world than, come here, boy. In return, Theo told him about wolf wilding and their traditions. We don't give them human names, she explained. Wolves have their own names. They don't need ours. So we call them by their colour or descriptions, like Tenderfoot. What will you call the pup? Nothing yet. Their fur changes colour for the first few years, so we don't call them anything until we're sure. Her family had been wolf wilders for generations, she told him, since Peter the Great. He was only pretending, she thought, not to be impressed. Ilya was there on the day Tenderfoot first learnt to tear open her own meat and watched from a safe distance as Theo and the wolves rolled together in the snow in triumph. He helped coax Tenderfoot into a run, pushing from behind while Theo flew ahead on her skis, calling encouragements in Russian and in her best wolf. He was there the day Tenderfoot discovered the frozen elk and crunched it up, victorious, bones and all, only to vomit extravagantly over Ilya's boots. That's not going to be easy to explain, he said, as Tenderfoot retreated, looking smug. Rakoff beats you if your boots and buttons aren't polished. Here, Theo passed him a rag. Wipe them off. Use the snow as polish. They'll still smell. So say it's a fashionable perfume in St. Petersburg. Anyway, you can't live with animals and care about a bit of dirt. Well, yes, anyone looking at you would reach that conclusion. But I think most people would agree that vomit and dirt fall into different categories of disgusting. Theo stuck out her tongue. White, suspecting food, did likewise. Don't talk like a grown-up at me. I meant most people think They like animals, but they only like the idea of them. Real animals mean real dirt. Theo, my socks have chunks of elk in them. It's nice. It means she trusts you. The day the pup opened his eyes, they had a feast. They hid behind the house out of sight of possible soldiers and built a snow throne for the pup and put a red cushion on it, stolen from Marina's bedroom. His teeth had yet to grow, but he spent the whole feast trying to tear the feathers out of it with his gums. Food was always plain by the tail end of winter, and so when Ilya pulled a pie from his pack, Theo felt her tongue prickle. It was mince in a red sauce which ran over their hands and dyed the snow blood-coloured. "Where did you get this?" asked Theo. It tasted boldly of tomatoes and spices. The pastry was flaky and full of butter, better than any she had ever tasted. "I stole it. It was easier than I thought it would be. I mean, I expected to feel worse." A raven flapped by. Theo pointed at it and then to Tenderfoot. "Get him, Tenderfoot." The wolf licked her pup and stayed where she was. "You see that face?" said Ilya. "She's humouring you. That's the face people make when you tell them that you're planning to crochet a ball gown for your cat or paint your sheep orange." "Shut up," said Theo. "She's getting faster every day. I know what I'm doing." "You shut up," said Ilya, "or I'll tell General Rakoff about Tenderfoot." Theo ignored him. He would, she knew, sooner swallow his own tongue than turn in the wolf and her pup. Mama says Wilding is helping a wolf work out that she was born to be brave. That's a difficult thing. I don't need help. This was one of the things Theo turned out to be wrong about. Ilya's help saved her life. It was deep into the night when he knocked on her window. She had been dreaming of the pie and waking felt an injustice. She hauled open the window, wincing at the night air. "What do you want?" Ilya didn't answer. He was making little retching sounds like a sick cat. "Ilya, what's wrong?" "I skied fast," he panted. "Why?" "Warning you, they're coming, General Rakoff, four others." The air in front of her eyes turned suddenly muddy. "Are you all right? Quick, come inside." She grabbed him and tugged him over the windowsill, not noticing he was still strapped to his skis. He thrashed and then he was in. There were wet streaks on his face. "What's happened?" He spoke so quickly she missed it at first and had to make him repeat it. "Tenderfoot killed a cow and food's been going missing," they said. They said she stole a pie. "But you stole that pie for us," Theo stared at him. Then she shouted, "Mama, Mama!" "And when they went after her, she bit a soldier. They shot her." "Shot her?" Theo stopped moving. The world stopped with her. I'm so sorry, I tried." "But Tenderfoot, they shot Tenderfoot." Theo dropped Ilya's ski pole. "Yes, yeah, she's dead." "No," it came out creakily, not her voice at all. "Theo, she was alive 4 hours ago. I gave her half a jackdaw." Theo sank down against the wall. "Are you sure?" "I'm sorry, Theo." "They can't have Ilya. They couldn't have." Tears were dripping down her chin into her hair. "They did. She's dead. I tried. I swear I tried. I couldn't stop them." She saw for the first time that teardrops had frozen on his nose and chin. Theo felt the ground sway under her. She sat on it. "Who? Tell me. Who? I'll kill them." "There's no time for that. They're coming to shoot all the others. They're going to arrest your mother for defiance of the Tsar." "The Tsar? How can you defy someone you've never met? They say she ignored the warning. Please." Ilya took hold of both her arms and tried to pull her to standing. "Theo!" His nose was running, snot lapping down over his lip, and his face was wet. "They're coming now." "When? In minutes, exactly." Marina was standing in the doorway. "Mama," said Theo, "Tenderfoot." "I heard." "It's all right, my love. Don't panic." Her mother's voice was sharp, but her presence in the room made it immediately easier to breathe. She turned to look at Ilya. "How long do we have?" "I skied as fast as I could, but they'll come on horses or on the sled. I don't know. Half an hour? I'm not good at times. Maybe only 10 minutes. "Thank you." Marina crouched in front of her daughter and pulled her into a too tight hug. "You remember the plan?" "My bag's by the back door." Theo hadn't thought she would need it. She tried to remember what she'd put in it. "I should have taken it more seriously," she thought. It had seemed so impossible that anything would ever change. Home had felt eternal. "Ilya, stand guard, please," said Marina. "Shout if you see them coming." "Yes, ma'am." Ilya saluted and left them to stand where he could see the road up towards the house. Theo, get dressed. You're going to run to the chapel. Wait for me there. I'll hold them here long enough for you to gather the wolves and then I'll follow. We'll head south and then down towards Moscow. You remember? Yes. Theo scrubbed her face with her hair. Of course. Quickly there, my darling. Theo's fingers fumbled as she tugged on her thickest skirt and warmest boots. She took a shirt from her mother's room and pulled it on. It was big but thicker wool than any of hers. She added her knitted jumpers, her red cloak. There was a scream from the door. Ilya's voice. The door slammed open. The house was in darkness. Theo ran out of her room into the hall. There were roars, sounds of breaking and heavy boots. Four lit torches, four soldiers. Their faces were in shadow, but they were huge, middle-aged men with tough skin, and they carried guns. One barked an order and the others began smashing lamps and windows with the butt ends of their rifles. Theo pressed herself against the wall, her heart bellowing in her chest. She ran back to her room and grabbed a ski. She heard running, her mother's voice in the sitting room, and then a roar of pain, male pain. Theo gripped the ski and charged down the hall into the sitting room. She could see her mother's silhouette backed against the wall, swinging with her knife. Theo swung her ski blindly. The room was in half darkness, but the man who lunged towards her had the hands and tobacco smell of Rakoff. She swung again, turning a full circle and stumbling in the dark. Rakoff let out a snort, which might have been anger, but sounded like laughter. Don't laugh! Thea rolled her lips back from her teeth. She flipped the ski in her hands, held it pointed end first, and instead of swinging, this time she jerked forward and jabbed. It worked a lot better. Theo was horrified by how much better it worked. The ski smacked into a soldier's neck and he yelled and tried to grab the ski from her with one hand as the other clutched at his bruised throat. She tugged it away and jabbed again at Rakoff. A horrible yielding feeling told her it had to hit a soft target. He roared and his spit flew in her face as he grabbed at her. No, she gasped. She couldn't look up. She dropped the ski, ran, tripping over her chair with her knee and slamming the back door, snatching up her bag as she went. She heard a coughing, choking roar coming after her, and then her mother's voice shouting and a shriek. She couldn't tell whose scream it was, and tears were blinding her, and something else, smoke. Flames were licking at the wooden windowsills from inside, and smoke was coursing out into the cold. Theo stared for several seconds before she understood. Her home was burning. She had put her hands over her ears and screamed. Wolf wilders are not supposed to scream, but at the sight of the fire, rage and fear took over her throat. From inside the burning house came a voice, a cry, Theo, run! Theo ran faster than she ever had before, shoulders forward, lifting her feet high in the snow. A stitch clamped down on her side and she stumbled onto her knees and dragged herself up again, spitting snow. Her breath tasted of tin and bile and she felt much too small. And then three shadows came tearing out of the woods and the wolves were there, galloping, panting and sniffing the ash in the air. She opened her arms and they charged at her and swept her backwards. Black! She threw both arms around his neck and buried her face in his side. But his dark fur against the snow reminded her of something terrible and she halted. The pup! The side wall of the house roared with flames. Ash flew up into the night air. He's still outside the front door. Thea ran, half crouching, one hand on Black's neck. The pup was sleeping 10 feet from the door, deaf to the noise of the fire and men. He was making tiny bubbles of wolf snot as he snored. Thea snatched him up by the scruff and thrust him down the front of her shirt. He mewed and his claws raked in panic against her stomach. She was staring out into the darkness, fighting to stop the shaking in her hands when the door burst open. Black darted around the side of the house, dragging Theo by the wrist, his teeth puncturing her skin. As they passed, one of the windows exploded outwards. Fire licked at Theo's cloak. The roof sparked and shuddered, and then human voices. Theo froze. Soldiers were backing out of the house, coughing and wiping their faces, and with them someone else. Theo's heart pitched. It was her mother, silhouetted against the burning house. Her shoulders were pulled backwards by her hands, bound behind her back, and her eyes and mouth were wrapped in strips of sacking. A soldier walked either side of her, hands on Mama's arms. Theo bit down on her own wrist to stop herself from screaming. Mama stumbled, slipping blindly on the ice, and the soldiers heaved her roughly to her feet. Theo's heart heard a snort. It came from the doorway. Rakoff stood inches from the tongues of flame coming from the house. One fist was pressed into his eye, and one sleeve was covered in blood, and his chest was heaving in laughter. It was uneven laughter, phlegmy, ragged, rising staccato into the night. It was the kind of laughter that makes you doubt the things you thought you knew about the world. Theo braced herself against the wall, her breath stumbling. She pinched her eyelids to wake herself up. When that didn't work, she grabbed a fistful of snow, rubbed it into her open eyes, gasping at the pain. She had to be asleep. These things did not happen. They kept happening. Rakov beckoned the third soldier to help him onto his horse. His laughter had passed and he scooped up a ball of snow and pressed it against his eye, his face managerial. Check around the woods to the west. The girl will probably be with neighbours. Burn their houses if necessary. Soldier hesitated, swallowed, nodded. Look for the boy too, the feeble one. Bring him back to me for disciplining. And this. Rakov jabbed a finger at his eye, at the blood drying in the wrinkles of his cheek. If I hear the officers gossiping about the girl, it will be you, Davidov, who I will come to for an explanation. The firelight illuminated Rakov's face and his mouth spasmed up and to the side. Sir, the soldier wiped soot and sweat from his face and saluted. His hands shook on the way down. Theo's dinner rose up in her throat. Suddenly, Black was butting the backs of her knees. Bewildered now, she slung one aching leg over his back. Before she could find her balance, the wolf was streaking across the snow away from the house, away from Mama. Wait, Theo mumbled. I have to go back. But she made no move to stop the wolf. Her breath scraped like a knife point against her insides. She felt the world becoming suddenly bendable and misty. Fuzziness swept in through her ears, and the world swept from fiery chaos into blackness. Well, that was quite a dramatic chapter. Tune in next week and we shall find out what happens. Bye-bye.